verse 6. We're going to go 6 through 10. But just to kind of continue on the same thought that was being talked about just a few moments ago about being heirs of God and being joint heirs with Christ, and what He has is what we have. And, you know, and I understand it's in the morning sometimes, but sometimes we don't react as enthusiastically as we should, because that's what this whole message is about. It's about mixing faith in with what we're saying. And with what Dan was saying today, obviously is recorded in the Word of God, saying that the cattle on a thousand hills is the Lord's, and if we're joint heirs, that's ours with it, you know? That's ours. But sometimes when we say that, people go, yeah, I know, that's ours, you know? And they talk about healing, or they talk about other provision. And the fact is that we're not really putting our hearts into what the Word says by saying that this is mine. And I know on Thursday when we came to pray, Bob shared something with us in the psalm that Dan referenced this morning of Psalm 23. And the way Bob talked about it is he said that he basically took Psalm 23 and personalized it and said, the Lord is Bob's shepherd, you know? I shall not want, you know, it's Bob's shepherd. And that's the thing that sometimes we're missing when it comes to the Word of God, is we don't identify the Word of God as truly being ours. We think of it as being a utopia or a perfect world that, you know, yes, it's attainable, but it's not really ours. It's not really set in stone. It's, you know, it's something that we're hoping happens, not something that we know has already been predetermined that it is and it already has happened. You know, it's the fact that the healing is already ours. We're not waiting for it to come or anything like that. So as we go into this, I want you guys to think about the first time that you, well, maybe not the first time, but when you heard the message of God's grace and of His love, and as you received it, you first had to obviously hear the Word of God. You had to hear the seed. The Holy Spirit drew you in, and then you responded to it. You responded to that message in faith, believing that God did send His Son to die for us, that if we believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth, we would be saved. We believed that, and we had that feeling in our heart. And this is what we're talking about here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. You see, God is telling us here that we are to be established in the faith that He is the author, the finisher of. He is the one that gave it to us. We need to be rooted and established in that faith. Think of it as, you know, as an example that we always see used so often is about, you know, comparing the spiritual life to a construction. You know, think of all the things that you're thinking in your mind of all the blessings. You know, Dwayne's talking about wanting to see a great financial blessing come forth in his life. See a miracle take place in his life. Some of us, we want to see the move of God happen so much in our lives. But when we think about it and you compare it to like building a building, if you want to build a very large building, you have to have a very large foundation. You have to establish it. It has to be deep. It has to be solid. And just to think about the fact is that if we're going to be established in the faith, I would rather, instead of just be standing on top of the faith that is in Christ Jesus, I would rather be knee-deep established in that faith, believing that it's already done to where I can't be moved, to where I can't be, you know, discouraged based upon what the world says. And this is what it's talking about, saying that we should be established in the faith, you know, faith in God, faith in His love, faith in His plan for us, all of these different things. Because as we go on here, it says, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, which is something that is just going to be a natural outcry of our life. If we're really believing in what God has already done for us, then we will just be thankful for absolutely everything that comes into our lives. But it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." You see, right here it's telling us that the basic principles of the world sometimes flies directly in the face of faith and does it directly, you know, contrary to where we would be naturally ready to believe in. You know, naturally we're thinking, you know, it's just like the whole basic principle of sowing and sowing and harvesting. Sometimes we think, if we're sitting here and we have just, you know, $10, well, if I've got a bill that's $15, obviously I need $5 more. But the Bible's telling you, sow 10% of that. Amen. Sow 10% of that, and then I can bless you in return for that. So if we're sitting here in a natural world, you know, basic foundational principles of the world, we're thinking, hoard it, keep it, and then maybe you can get $5 more and you can pay that bill. But the way the Lord does it is the fact that if you honor Him first, He will bless you abundantly to where that $9 can turn into $15 somehow by somebody coming across your path and saying, "Oh, here's $6, you know? As odd as that may seem, that's the way the Word of God works, is that sometimes it flies so directly contrary to where to what the world seems and the basic principles of the world that we have to be established in our faith to understand that the Word of God is true, and by believing in the Word of God and putting our hearts, our minds, our words, everything in line with what the Word of God says, we will receive those same results. But if we try doing things in God's kingdom according to the way of the world, we will not receive those same results. That's why we have to be rooted and established in the faith to where we are, you know, we are so grounded that despite the circumstances, because the circumstances will also tell you things differently than what the Word of God says. It's not just the way the principles of the world work, but sometimes your circumstances tell you it's not going to happen. But that's why it's so important to believe and have faith in absolutely everything you do. You know, as we go on here in verse 9, because if we're doing these things, if we're being established in the faith, in verse 9 it says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." You see, it is in Christ, or faith in Christ, that allows us to access the fullness of God. It is that faith in Christ. And as I know that other times where we've talked about it, and I've heard about it before, is just how faith basically is almost like you're in two parallel worlds, to where you've got a physical world on one side and you've got the spiritual world on the other side. And your faith is what connects the two, to allow the spiritual richness, to allow the spiritual, you know, truth to transition into our physical life is through our faith. It's through believing in Christ. It's through believing and having faith in what He has already done for us. It is the things that He has done for us that we need to have faith in. Because as it goes on here, it says, "And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." You see, in this little truth right here, I was listening to a few marriage like sermons or whatever on this week, and one of the things that was really cool about it is he was talking about how if you're having problems in your marriage, it's probably because Christ isn't number one. And the way he worded it was the fact that sometimes we're always talking about looking for, you know, as younger people, or even, you know, as you're searching for somebody that you want to share your life with, you're like, "I need to find the one, you know. I need to find that one person that's going to make me happy, that one person, you know, that I would love to share my life with." But he was saying, no, you need to find your number two. Because if you find your number one, knowing that you are complete in Christ, you won't have this false notion in your head that this one other human is going to make your life completely better. Because what he was saying is that one person, the person that you are married to, will probably fulfill about 80% of what you want them to fulfill. But the thing is that so many people get caught up in the 20% of what they don't fulfill that they try trading for another person, thinking that they're going to fulfill everything. And so you've got these relationships that are so, you know, bombarded and just torn apart because the majority of somebody's life has been completely satisfied with somebody else, but then they have this little bit of, you know, unsatisfaction going on that they decide to try to fill it with somebody else. That's not going to fulfill everything they need. Why? Because they're not feeling like they're complete in Christ already. Because Christ has to be the number one person in your life to where you do feel complete. And that way, nobody's outside feelings, nobody's outside words against you, anything like that should be able to detract you from what you are in Christ. Because we have to remember that we are complete in Christ. He should be the number one focus in our lives. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. And we're just going to continue to talk about faith in Christ because we know, in the verse that we'll get to in a minute, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? So we have to have faith in Christ. You know, this is how great of a God we have, all right? This is the thing that I find so cool about it, is that we know, according to the Word of God, is that God is the author and finisher of our faith, right? So, in order for us to be pleasing to God, we have to have faith. And He gives it to us. He gives you everything you need to be pleasing to Him. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that we could possibly do to do it, and He's already providing a way for us to do it. You know, one of our heart's desires is just to love Him and just to honor Him and, you know, to be accepted by Him, and He gives us all the tools we need to be accepted by Him. He gives us Christ. He authors our faith in Christ. He does everything for us. We just have to understand that and understand that He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? Amen. All right, in verse 1, it says in chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So in verse 1, this is where this quote that I've been kind of playing around with in my head for a while is because I found it so important that when you are talking about faith, and what I want you guys to get today is the fact that when you do everything in your life, it should involve faith. Everything. It's not something that should be quarantined to church or quarantined to, you know, to doing something in the ministry. It is every day of your life. Faith. And that's why it says when we are established in the faith, it is an outward action of everything that you do. Of everything that you do is where faith should be involved. But what it is saying here, you know, is that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the definition that I want you guys to think about of faith is that faith is not believing that something will happen, but it is the knowledge that something has happened, and you're just basically waiting for it to manifest. Faith is not a belief that you're going to get something. Faith is a belief that it is already established that you have something and that you will get it. That you have it right now and that you will see it very soon. Even if we can't see it like right now, we know that we have it because we trust and we are firmly believing in the Word of God. We have faith in the Word of God. We have faith in what He says to us. And then in verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." You see, this is what's so cool is the fact that the faith and what we have in God and faith in His Word is a key to properly understanding the natural world. It is a key to understanding the way the world was created, the way we were created, the type of beings that we are. The type of actual needs that we have are all satisfied in Christ. To be accepted, to be loved, to be cherished, to be, you know, cared for, to be provided for. All of those needs that we want and that we would like to have in our lives are provided in Christ. And it is that faith and is that knowledge of not only that, but knowing that this world was created out of things that were not visible. Understanding the fact that if we know that all these things were created out of God's words framed or made complete by God's words, then we understand later on down the road that it's not a very far leap to understand that it's all God's. You know? But if we start believing that it was all just randomly put together just by what was standing out here, sometimes people can say, well, this was man-made. This was all created just by, you know, by random chance, by what they call primordial soup. I mean, whatever they want to say, it makes it more difficult for someone to make that leap to say, yeah, this is all, you know, this is all God's and this is mine if they think it happened by random chance. But to understand it properly is to be rooted in our faith, to believe and understand that God has provided these things. God created the world. God created these things. And what in the world would you know, inhibit Him from creating something that you most, you know, definitely need? If you need clothes, why in the world can't He provide clothes for you? If you need healing, why in the world can't you have it? You know, there is absolutely nothing, you know, is that when you look back at the, you know, the testimony of Abraham, and when they were sitting there trying to, you know, God was saying, I'm going to provide an heir. I'm going to provide, you know, all these different descendants. And they're like, Abraham's like, Lord, I'm 100 years old. Okay, seriously, how in the world is this going to work? Okay, and the thing is that God responded, is nothing, you know, too difficult for me? Is anything too difficult for me? No, nothing is too difficult for God. Absolutely not. But see, we once again, in our human minds, like to put things in such a tight sphere of influence that we think, oh, well, God can't do that. But we need to start taking absolutely all these limits off of God. To the fact that when we do pray, we believe that we will have a building, not something that's going to be necessarily obtained in the future if we play our cards right. No, it has been established that God's going to give us this. God's going to give us provision. We don't have to beg and plead for it. God's already done it. We don't have to. It is an attitude change of having faith in what has already been provided for you through God. And let's go to verse 6 real quick, because it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, our life can be completely blessing to the Lord. It can be a blessing to the Lord. It can be pleasing to the Lord. And now, what I don't want you guys to take away from that is that you are not already. There's a difference between you being spiritually right with God and having your spirit be completely one with Him and being pleasing to the Lord. And then there's another aspect of living your life pleasing to the Lord. Because it's not like anything that I can do will change my status with the Lord. Okay? Because God looks at us and He sees Christ. He sees us overlaid with Christ. We don't have to worry about, you know, being pleasing to the Lord. But living a life by faith is a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Your spirit, you are already pleasing to the Lord, but living your life pleasing to the Lord is another ball game altogether. It is important to live by faith. It is important to not just, you know, say that, you know, you love God and that you believe in Him, but I mean, it is another thing to live by faith to where every walk and every step that you take is an understanding of God's provision for you, His love for you, and His 100% provision for all of your life. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. And I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 3. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. I'm going to stop there real quick. Because in verse 1 it tells us, therefore since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you have seemed to have come short of it. The promise of God is always there. Okay? The provision is already there. We know that through Christ Jesus, all of these things came to pass. We know that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we know that healing, salvation, deliverance, every one of those things has been provided for us. His life, absolutely every one of these things has been provided for us. So the promise is already there. And that's why it says all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen. So all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. We know that they're already there for us. The promise still remains. The promise still remains for me, it remains for you, it remains for every single one of us here that are believers in Christ. The promise still remains, and the promise is still there for people that don't believe in Christ, okay? Because it is there, and they can take a hold of it as well once they believe in Him. But as we go on here, I'm going to read verse 2. It says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Have you guys ever felt like something that when you're, doing something, that you're just not getting any benefit from it? A lot of people think that a lot of times when you're helping out the church or whatever, sometimes we think, or even if it's not church or at work and you're helping out somebody, a business partner or whatever, you're like, well, this doesn't really get me anything. Sometimes that same feeling can come about when you're praying. You're like, well, I don't really seem to see any fruits. It's not like this is really benefiting me at all. Sometimes you come to church and you hear a word and you're like, oh, that's a great word, but it really isn't changing anything in my life. If you've ever felt that way, I hope you guys are convicted by the rest of this verse. Because it says, the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You see, by faith, we can please God. But another thing is the fact that faith comes by hearing the word of God. But if we don't also mix in our belief with it, our faith in Christ, our faith in what He has done, it won't profit us anything. So if we don't mix faith in all that we do, our actions, our prayers, our everything, then we will not see the Word of God profit us. Now, I'm not saying this is all about us being profited or anything like that, but the thing is that all of these things can profit you if we mix it with faith. If we mix listening to it and putting it into practice, because we know that faith without works is dead, right? So if we don't live out and act out our faith, then we won't see these promises profit us. If we don't live it out and actually live, live like you're healed, live like you've been redeemed. I don't know how many times people will say, I've got shoulder issues. Sometimes people have shoulder issues and you're like, well, why don't you raise your hands and praise God? Well, I can't. I have shoulder issues. Start doing something as an active participant in your faith. Doing something in the sense that if you can't walk, the people that have been in wheelchairs that have gotten up and walked, they will never walk if they don't get up and do something. And you will never profit from the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God if you don't put faith and mix faith in with what you do and act on it. You won't get anything out of it. It is a fact that when one of the times when Jesus healed a lame man, it was like, reach out your hand. Reach out. And if that man would have kept it to him, his hand, his body would have never been healed. But he reached out. Just as, when they walked up to the temple and said, silver and gold have I none, rise up. They reached down. If he would have said, no, I can't get up, then he would have never received. But he looked at him, he reached up, grabbed their hand, and he got pulled right up and he walked. You see, it is that first action, when we start to act upon what we have heard, when it's mixed with faith, we will start to see those things happen. The lady with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. What did she do? She mixed her faith and action, and she reached out and said, if I can just touch this guy's clothes, I'll be healed. If I can just find my way through this crowd, I can be healed. And she did. She was healed. If we just mix what we do and what we say with faith, we will see miraculous things happen. And as it goes on here, it says, who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So all the work and promises of God were finished from when? Okay, so that means they're complete already, right? That means they're ours already, right? Say, that's what faith is, believing that it's already done. Believing in God's word that it is already done. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 1 real quick. And as we go there, I want you guys to answer something real quick. When they sent the 12 spies out of Israel to scout out the promised land, who among those 12 actually entered into the rest of God? Joshua and Caleb, right? Why was that? Because they believed and had faith in what God told them. Despite what they saw in circumstances, despite what their natural minds, because the other 10 were acting as the world does, and acts in a way that says, here's a huge obstacle, there's absolutely no way that we can take care of it. There's absolutely no way that we can move it, there's absolutely no way that we can break it down. And the two that heard God's word, that said, I have given you this land, I have given it to you. It had already been established, and what did they do? They believed on the word of God. They had faith in what he said, and they acted upon that faith and said, there is absolutely nothing that can stand in our way if God's given us this land. There's absolutely nothing that can stand in our way. They believed that the promises were already established through God's word and what he had told them, and those two were the only ones that got to enter into the promised land. That rest that we want to see, that financial blessing that we want to see, that prosperity, that healing, that everything that we want to see is accessed through our faith in God and through what he has already said that has been established from the foundation of the world. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You see, all the directions that we've been looking at so far has been talking about mixing faith in with what we've heard by doing these things of the Word of God, by acting upon what God has said. And in verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I want you guys to notice that there is absolutely no mention in that verse about ability. There's absolutely no mention in that verse about ability, about influence, about strength, about anything else. It says, if you are what? Willing and? Okay. Are you guys willing? Are you going to be obedient to the word of God? Then hallelujah, we get the second part of that verse, and it says, you shall eat the good of the land. Not the rotten fruit of the land, but the good of the land. Okay? You see, these things about God are so promising to the fact that we have so much to be thankful for in him, but we have so much more that is available to us as well. We live so short of where we can live because people don't act out in faith. There is absolutely, you know, when we are to be separate, you know, we're supposed to be in this world, not of this world, right? So the way that the world does things doesn't need to be and shouldn't be the way that we do things. I'm here to claim that I don't want to get diseases the way the world does. If there's somebody sneezing in a cube next to mine, I don't want it. Okay? I don't want it. I'm not going to take it. You know, some people will be like, oh, I hope I don't get sick too. Well, guess what? The next week they're going to be out a couple days too because they're going to be at home sneezing and coughing and hacking. Because that's the way the world does things. The world is like, well, somebody has an illness, I guess I'm going to get it. Somebody came in, and then they want to blame somebody. And even sometimes this happens in church too, okay? And this is one thing that I want to completely, hopefully, set straight for people. If you come to church and you're ill, and if somebody else in this church leaves and then the next week they get sick, that is not that person's fault that came to church ill. Because you have received health through Christ. You can receive health through Christ, and you can continue to receive health through Christ. So if you're sick, don't stay home hoping you don't make somebody else ill, because they need to stand in their own faith. You need to come and get healed and prayed for. So don't stay home because you're not feeling good, because you're like, well, what if there's babies there? Well, those parents can stand in faith for their babies. Those parents can do what they need to do to take care of their kids. It is not something that you need to be concerned about. You need to be concerned about getting yourself well. Amen. And that means getting prayed for. That means standing in your faith and believing the word of God that has said, by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm not going to receive it. You know, that's a way that we can strategically be completely different from the world. Amen. If people see that you have no sick days, if people can see that you come in and you are happy every day, what in the world is wrong with you? Okay? Nobody is happy every day that they come to work. Okay? You know, and there's, you know, there are sometimes, you know, and it really sometimes just makes people mad. You know? And that's okay. You know? Because that is not the way they naturally react to things. And that's fine. You can make people mad by being happy. I mean, that's one of the best reasons to make somebody mad. Okay? Don't make somebody mad just because you're vengeful, but make them mad because you're just so uber positive that they just think you're disgusting, okay? Be that person, and don't think that we have to act just like the world does in order to blend in, because we're not supposed to. You can't shine as a light, you can't shine like a city on a hill by being down in the valley with them, okay? You can't. That's why it says, do not, you know, don't be deceived that bad company corrupts good character or good morals. Now let's turn to Ecclesiastes real quick. And a couple of these verses just blended in real well from this, you know, blended into my message so well from some things I'd been listening to this week that it just really spoke up in my heart, because I want you guys to understand this in chapter 7 here and in verse 8, because sometimes we're so worried about the future that we seem to forget to start where we're at and start walking by faith now in order to see these great things in the future. Because in verse 8 here of chapter 7, it says, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning." Sometimes we might have thought that it might have just been, you know, a wonderful thing just to get into the family of God, and it is. But there is absolutely no reason why the end can't be better than just at the beginning when we experienced his love. Because as we walk in Christ, as we establish ourselves in the faith in Christ, we can see greater things take place in our life as we progress further in our Christian walk. And we should. Sometimes the only problem with that is that people don't want to start. I'm guessing that was every single one of you guys, because nobody said anything. But sometimes we don't want to start. We're afraid of what the consequences are. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of anything that moves us out of our comfort zone. But I'm telling you right now, if something doesn't move you out of your comfort zone, I bet you it's not God. And the only reason why I say that is because God, not only, he said that he won't push you, you know, he won't allow things to come to you that you can't handle, but it never says that if we're in Christ, guess what? That means we can handle a ton. Okay? Sometimes we're like, well, I can't handle this. No, you can't handle it on your own, and that's why you're pushed. Because God doesn't want you to do anything alone. He wants you to do absolutely everything with him. And with him in mind and faith in him. So let's turn to Mark chapter 11. And these will be the last few verses we'll go over. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 20. And it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, I really enjoy reading about Peter, because this guy was everywhere. I mean, he had just so much fire going in his heart that he was amazed at absolutely everything that took place. He was, you know, tried to stand in front of Jesus and telling him not to be crucified. I mean, he was just very zealous, you know, and that's a good thing to have. It's a good thing to be zealous, and sometimes we go, well, Peter, he just didn't have, you know, he wasn't thinking about things properly. He wasn't doing, you know, he doubted. I can't believe that he, you know, that he denied that he knew Christ. I just can't believe that. Well, the thing is that Peter always had a heart of wanting to do something for God. And you look at Peter, and he was always just outspoken. But then you look back in this gospel, and you see the different things that are going on, and Jesus is healing different people, healing blind eyes, doing all this kind of stuff. And then Peter, he's still just amazed. And sometimes, you know, when I was looking at that, sometimes you can think, wow, he was just amazed that it happened. But another thing for me was just kind of like, maybe it wasn't just that he was amazed that it happened. Maybe he was also just amazed in the first place that it continued to happen. He was excited every time that God did something cool, that Jesus did something cool. And that's where sometimes we get to a point where we accept things as being normal in the course of a service or normal in the course of our lives, that we don't step back and appreciate the holiness, don't appreciate the, you know, the passion, don't appreciate the miracle that just took place. You know, the miracle of God communicating through us through tongues and interpretation, that's a miracle. That's a God-given ministry tool that unless you're moving in the Spirit, it's not going to happen. That should never lose its luster, should never lose its excitement. And you see, Peter was just excited about this. But also, we do know that Peter, in other times, has also been quick to doubt as well. But as it says here, it says, And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, or said to them, Have faith in God. He said, For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You see, even in this given example, the fig tree, when it first was spoken by faith through, you know, in Christ, when Christ first spoke it, nothing happened on the surface. And there are some times where we think that we need to see an immediate, tangible result before we believe that God's done something. Sometimes when we get prayed for a certain pain, we don't see that pain immediately go away, and we think, well, I guess it didn't happen. And we walk away and we cheat ourselves out of seeing the healing manifest in our body because we don't believe that it's already happened, despite the circumstances. But Jesus believed, he cursed the fig tree withered, and the next day, they saw it withered. And Peter was, you know, just astounded by it. And Jesus was like, don't be amazed by my act. Don't be amazed by this. You can do the same thing. And no offense, but I think having a mountain, or even if it's just a figurative mountain in our lives, I think having a mountain moved is much greater than seeing a tree dry up. Okay? But the fact is he's saying, you can not only do what I just did, but you can do many other things. Amen. If you pray and believe that you receive it, okay? It is not that you will receive it right now. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. But when you don't negate the faith that you should have in the Word of God. Don't negate that Word that he has told you that says that you are healed. Don't negate that he says that you have already been blessed, that you have an abundance. You know, the fact is that we have our provision given to us out of the provision that God has. And His abundance is much greater than any one of our needs could absolutely ever be. So don't think you're going to tap God out if you ask Him for healing your back pain. Don't think that you're going to, you know, overdraw His bank account by asking for Him to help you pay a bill. But we don't need to ask Him to do it. We just need to believe that it's done. A complete change in the way that we are thinking. Because faith, even on the surface, sometimes it seems like nothing has changed. But the fact is that God's at work. God's already, according to the other scriptures that we read, these principles have been laid, and these things, all the work has been finished from the foundation of the world. So everything that we need has already been finished and provided for. We just have to go get it. And you see, and this was the cool thing that we're listening to. I know that Dan's been watching it as well, but on Andrew Womack, he was talking about fulfilling God's will and how to listen to God's will and all these different things. And he was talking about provision. Sometimes people are like, I need provision, you know, in order to do this ministry that God has called me to do. And one of his examples was people coming out to his college, like they said, well, I know that God spoke to me and said that I'm supposed to be there. I know that God said that I'm supposed to be out there at that college, but I just can't go. I don't have the finances for it. I don't have a job out there. And he goes, did God tell you to come? I'm like, well, yeah. Then get out here. Because sometimes the provision that you need is not the provision that you need is not going to be in the place you are. It's going to be in the place where God has called you to be. So that when we want to see a provision, it's almost like we want to see with our eyes on our fingertips that we just see healing in our hands before we reach out to do anything. Because we want to be assured of a victory before we're willing to commit. But we have to be willing to commit and believe in God's word, and then we will be assured the victory. You see, it's a complete unnatural way of thinking in the fact that we have to step out in order to step on the water. Or we have to step out or reach out in order to see God heal people. You know, we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not you'll brush by them and go kick them or anything like that. I mean, just try to do something that doesn't take a lot of commitment, but it's reaching out and touching. So we have to have faith in absolutely everything that we do. You know, a couple things I want to mention. It says, you know, from different things that how and when we should use our faith. Obviously, daily we should be using our faith. Daily, when you wake up, because faith shouldn't be a practice that only takes place when you need something. Faith is a practice that is an ongoing thing. And if people would practice their faith as an ongoing thing, they wouldn't need faith for emergencies, so to speak. If you have faith in God providing for you when you tithe, then you don't have to believe at the very end when you haven't been tithing for an emergency. You see, it's a reaction thing that sometimes we wait until the last minute to do something. When if we believe God for our health at all times, He's going to give us our health. But instead, sometimes we believe for a healing from pain because we've done something and not been thanking God about healing in the first place. You know, it's the fact that we need to live that life. So interactions with others. We need to have faith that other people don't mean harm for us. We have to have faith that, you know, believing in the best of other people. Because we know that if God laid down His life, not only for us, but the whole world, that means the pain that they're causing you has already been paid for by the cross. Amen. And if you truly understand the cross, that means that not only do you get forgiveness, but you receive the blessing from Him already forgiving other people as well. It is that receiving. Another thing is in, obviously, sickness, financial. But when we pray for the church, we need to pray for the church in a way that we are not only believing for a provision for next week. We thank God that provision for next week, for next year, has already been provided for us. We don't have to say we need $10,000 for the next 2 months. No, God knows what our need is. We will see the need met when we all act in faith and give in faith. You see, when we start doing things by faith, we will see it. We start praying by faith, knowing that if we know that we have a promise in God that this ministry will grow, we thank God that it's growing. We thank God that the people are here. We thank God that the building is there. We thank God that it has already been established and given to us by His Word, and we're just waiting for it. It is not a praying, please God, please. We know that these people are here. We know that in the Spirit, the reality is set in stone by being established from the foundation of the world. And the last thing is that I know that what we've been talking about recently about praying in the Spirit is you need to remember to mix your faith with praying in the Spirit. Sometimes we think that when we're praying in the Spirit, we're automatically just praying with faith. You're praying out the perfect will of God. I'll give you that much. But if you're praying out the perfect will of God in the, in the natural, and you don't mix faith with it, it's not going to avail anything. It's just like those people that are babbling with their mouths. Their lips praise them, but their hearts are far from me. It is mixing faith with what we do. So that when we're praying in the Spirit, saying, Lord, I know that I don't know exactly what I'm praying, but thank God, I know that you're bringing it to pass, that you're establishing what I have. What I'm praying to you right now, I know it's your perfect will, and I just continue to believe it. And just pray, it's a constant reminder and birth in our hearts and in our spirits that we mix faith with everything that we do. And I'm going to leave you with one last thing, because this was a quote that I heard while going over this sermon when I was listening to some Joseph Prince. It says, when you see Jesus in His grace, then He can see us in our faith. You see, when you see Jesus as already redeeming us and providing everything for us, Jesus looks at us and He sees us in faith. It is not necessarily where we're like, oh, I got to mix faith. It is believing in the grace of Jesus Christ that all these things are provided for. We receive them, we thank you for them, and then God looks at us and says, man, they're in faith. They believe what I say. That's a life that's pleasing to God. A life that is pleasing to God is walking by faith. Amen? Amen? All right, well, let's just go ahead and bow our heads this morning. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father, for your provision for every single one of us here today. We thank you, Lord, that the promises of God have already been rooted and established in faith. And Father, we thank you that we have these things and that we will see these things take place. We have your provision, we have your abundance, we have absolutely everything that we could ever need because it has already been provided for. And we mix our heart and we mix our faith, Father, in agreement with that we will walk according to your word and not according to anything else. And we just praise you and we just bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand this morning, but we want to mention